Imagine the amount of restraint, the amount of self-control, the amount of selflessness, the amount of, really restraint that Jesus demonstrated on that fateful day over 2,000 years ago. This is the Son of the living God in the flesh here on this earth. How dare they mock him? How dare they slap him? How dare they spit on him? As we often sing, Jesus could have called a host of mighty angels to come down and to avenge this unjust and detestable treatment that was being put on him. But as a sheep before its shears is silent, so he opened not his mouth. Isaiah 53 and verse 7. Jesus told his disciples in Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 and 25. Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 25. He said, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their lives will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Take up your cross and follow him. See, the gravity of the cross or the seriousness of it, I think, is kind of lost on us today because we don't use punishments as grotesque and as gruesome as the cross anymore. See, Jesus is saying, hey, pick up your guillotine and follow me. Pick up your hangman's noose and follow me. Pick up some arsenic or some plutonium or some cyanide and follow me, because following Christ is going to kill you. It's going to kill you. He says, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. The cost of discipleship is your life. And anything short of that just isn't enough. Look at what the cost of discipleship is, how Jesus described it in Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. Again, Luke chapter 9, verses 57 through 62. It says, "Now it happened as they journeyed on a road that someone said to him, 'Lord, I will follow you wherever you go.' And Jesus said to him, 'Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head.' Then he said to another, 'Follow me.' And he said, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God.' And another also said, 'Lord, I will follow you, but first let me go and bid them farewell who are in my house.' But Jesus said to him, 'No one putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God.'" Jesus doesn't want you when it's comfortable for you. He doesn't want you when it's convenient for you. He doesn't want you when you're doing whatever you're doing, and once it's done, now you're ready to serve him. No, he wants all of you, and he wants you now. He wants every moment of your life, every thought in your mind, every word from your lips. And after what we just read, does he not deserve it all? This is the man that was denied. He was betrayed. He was struck. He was lied against, beat, spat on twice, mocked, and abandoned. And he did it all for you and for me. He deserves nothing less than my devotion, because anything less is just another slap in his face. So again, he said, "Whoever wants to save their lives will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." Jesus has sacrificed so much for you, and he sacrificed so much for me. But what are we sacrificing for him daily? Seriously, stop and contemplate. How have I sacrificed this past week for the cause of Christ? This world, you know, especially here, is full of distraction. This world tells you to focus on yourself and to be thankless, to be selfless, selfish, to be self-serving, to be self-focused. But we're Christians. We bear the name of Christ, and we understand that we ought to be striving to look, to act, and to think like our Savior each and every day. Jesus was a man with a mission. And his mission, he was so focused on that mission, he allowed himself to be humbled. He allowed himself to push his will aside and to accept the will of the Father, even unto death. When will we sacrifice ourselves like that? When will our sacrifice be to match our will to the will of the Father, even until death? So again, what are you sacrificing for God? Are you sacrificing your time? I think this is one of the hardest parts, especially in our American culture, that we struggle with, sacrificing our time. We're told to go out, get a job, work hard, play hard, work overtime, join the PTSA, take dancing lessons, keep up with the latest movies, spend a Saturday at the mall, go to 12 different stores, buy the perfect shoes, or play video games. Don't put down that Game Boy until you collect all 8 badges. I'm not saying these things are bad. But our culture is so full of things to do and so many vain goals to accomplish. When do we take the time to stop and to sacrifice our time for God? Like Evan said this morning and many times when he speaks, I'm not doing this lesson just for everyone here. I'm doing this lesson for myself because, this is something hard to do. It's something easy to become distracted from, sacrificing yourself for God. This is something that I personally want to work on more, sacrificing more of my time, more of my thoughts, more of everything that I do for God. It's easy to get wrapped up in the affairs of the world, and to lose track of who we are, who died for us, and who we truly need to put first. Are you sacrificing your time for God? I heard a really good analogy at the Live Save weekend about how we should give God our all because He gives so much to us, even though we don't deserve it. Imagine if God blessed you in proportion with your daily study habits. Again, imagine if God blessed you in proportion to your daily study habits. So you say, okay, I read my Bible on Sundays, and you know, I remember on Monday morning, I missed Tuesday, but I came to church on Wednesday. The rest of the week, I just kind of slacked off, but I was back here again on Sunday. That's pretty good, isn't it, God? What if God would say back, hey, that's great. How about, okay, I'll wake you up on Tuesday and Thursday and Friday and just forget to wake you up the rest of the days. You see, I think then we would get it. You see, it's a blessing that God wakes us up each and every day. And He wakes us up with the same mind that we had the day before. He doesn't have to do that. He could wake us up with puzzled minds that cause us to go out to the nearest field, get on our hands and knees, and we could eat grass like an ox. Like He did to King Nebuchadnezzar, to humble him. After He did that to King Nebuchadnezzar, you can read about it, I think it's Daniel chapter 6. He praised God after that happened to him. We need to sacrifice our time to God and stop making excuses for why we can't. Because, again, He deserves it. He's done so much for us. And He continues to do so much for us each and every day. And sometimes I think we overlook it. Are we really sacrificing our money to God as we should? Is it something else that's, again, very difficult for our American culture to do? When we get a raise at work, or when we're looking for a new job, or when we finally get that paycheck that we're waiting on for 2 weeks, what are we thinking? Are we thinking, man, sweet, this extra money is really going to help out with the bills I have to pay, these college loans that are coming up. Now I'm going to have more wiggle room to do what I want to do. Now I'm going to have more space. Maybe I could even save up, take that trip to Aruba that I wanted to take. Or is the first thought in our minds, great, I got that raise. I'm so glad. I'm so thankful how I can give more to God. This is great. I can give more to Him now. Where are our thoughts? Are we truly sacrificing our lives the way we should? Again, this is something that I personally need to work on, and I'm sure I'm not the only one here. Are we sacrificing our sleep? Now, I love to sleep, and I'm sure many of you love to sleep as well. I mean, I enjoy my naps. I know Brother Juan was telling us that he likes to sleep. You know, that's something that he likes to do. And I'm with him there. I'm with him there. Yesterday at our men's Bible study last night, I learned that some of the men here in this very room, they set their alarms maybe 10 or 20 minutes early earlier than when they need to wake up. And they spend that time studying God's words. They can start the day off right. But I love to sleep. Sleep is awesome. I have some pretty cool dreams that I wish, you know, wouldn't stop because I have superpowers and things are going cool. I hate hearing my alarm go off at 6:22 in the morning. Just started working at a high school, I'd be there at 7. 6:22 every morning. Why in the world would I want to set my alarm for 6:02? It's even earlier. I don't want to do that. Because Jesus prayed all night before sacrificing himself for me. Maybe I could sacrifice my sleep for him. Right? He's done so much for us. Why not sacrifice that time for him? A sacrifice is not a genuine sacrifice if it doesn't mean anything to us. When we feel the pain of our sacrifice, then we know we're giving something important. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, Paul tells the church there something very simple, and I think is rather profound. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24. He says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Have you crucified your own passions, your own desires, your own wants? Have you done that? Jesus' desire was not to die. He was a man just like us. And we like to preserve our life for as long as possible. I'm sure it wasn't his son that said, like, oh boy, I get to die. No, that's not the way we think. He made it very clear in Matthew chapter 26, verses 39 and 42. Nevertheless, he crushed his own will. He crushed his own desires. And he made them one with the Father's. Are we sacrificing ourselves like that? Are we sacrificing our desires? Are we sacrificing our passions? Are we sacrificing our time, our money, our sleep, our all for Jesus? I hope and pray that each and every one of us can confidently say what Paul said of himself in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. He says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." I didn't plan on speaking long tonight because all the passage that we read, I feel, really speaks for itself. Jesus endured so much for us. And he did it out of love. Now it's up to us to sacrifice ourselves for him because, again, he deserves nothing less. So go ahead, take out your psalm book. And while you do so, ask yourself, am I being crucified with Christ? Am I sacrificing myself daily for Christ? Are you ready to die for Christ? Luckily in this country, even in this country, sometimes that is a physical death. But definitely mentally. Are you submitting yourself to the Father's laws and to the Father's wants? So are you just doing what you want? Jesus did. Are you ready to die to self and to live for Christ? Why keep Jesus waiting? Don't make him wait. If you want to be added to the church tonight or you have any need this evening, we invite you to come forward as we stand and sing for your encouragement.